Today is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. It's also the feast day of St. Hedwig. So the second oration, secret and post-communion, you find in your missals today on her feast day on October 16th. There'll be a brief craft fair meeting after Mass today, so please meet me downstairs after Mass to find out how you can help with our craft fair, which is the greatest fundraiser that we have for the current school, and all kinds of different jobs and opportunities to help with the craft fair. So please do stop down after Mass today. Also on Wednesday, it is the feast day of St. Peter of Alcantara. It's also the 23rd anniversary of Bishop Kelly's Episcopal consecration. So I'd ask you to please, of course, remember Bishop Kelly in your prayers all the time, but especially this Wednesday on the feast of St. Peter, which is the anniversary of Bishop Kelly's Episcopal consecration. The epistle appointed to be read for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Brethren, we are confident in the Lord Jesus, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. As it is meet for me to think this for you all, for that I have you in my heart, and in my bands, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my joy. For God is my witness, how I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In this I pray that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in all understanding, that you may approve the better things, that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And the Holy Gospel. This Gospel taken from St. Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 through 21. At that time, the Pharisees went and consulted among themselves how to ensnare Jesus in his speech. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art a true speaker and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do ye tempt me, ye hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tribute. And they offered him a penny. And Jesus saith to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They say to him, Caesar's. Then he saith to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, in this Gospel of St. Matthew, we read about the account of the great wisdom of God himself. Our Lord's enemies, the Pharisees, were plotting his destruction because his holiness was a reproach to their wickedness. The Pharisees were losing their position among the people, and the people were flocking to our Lord. So in the guise of wanting to really know the truth, the Pharisees propose a question concerning payment to Caesar, hoping to ensnare our Lord in his answer. If our Lord says, no, don't pay to Caesar, then he is an enemy of Rome. But if he says, yes, pay to Caesar, then he's an enemy of Israel. It was truly folly on the part of the Pharisees to think that they could contend with the divine wisdom. For our Lord answers in a way that neither the people nor Pilate can take offense. And the Pharisees are outraged. They are outraged because they are too busy detecting some contradiction, some lie in what our Lord said, rather than taking this as an opportunity to believe him to be the Messiah, to believe him to be of divine nature. And why did our Lord deserve this type of treatment from the Pharisees? He cured their sick. He raised their dead to life. He even fed them in the desert when they were hungry. He even laid his holy hands upon the heads of their children and told the mothers that their children were little angels. Our Lord had done everything that man and God could possibly do to the hard hearts of the Pharisees and to win their affection and to win them to the faith. Today, this question posed to him was only a week before they put him to death. And he found out that all the work that he had done was done in vain, for the hard-hearted Pharisees. Saints reproduce in their lives the characteristics of their Lord and their King. They are honest men and true to themselves, true to God, and true to their neighbors. They render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God what belongs to God. A saint is nothing more than a gentleman. A gentleman is defined as a man who knowingly and deliberately offends no one, including the supreme being. A Catholic gentleman is a hero. He's a hero because he's willing to break away from the world. He's willing to break away and even scorn kings and leaders rather than offend God by sin. Sin is not manly. Applause of the world that is gained and won at the expense of one's integrity echoes to the very depths of hell. Praise of the world that is gained by defiance of God's law is great dishonor. A Catholic gentleman or a Catholic lady is a saint in private life and in public life, endeavoring for personal holiness in order to render to God what is rightly God's, and that is the soul that has been purchased. My dear faithful, the world has not shed its blood for our salvation. We have been purchased at a very great price. We have been purchased by the infinite value of the infinite blood of Christ. We do not belong to the world. We're in the world because we have to be in the world. The world is our vestibule to our heavenly home. So we have to be, as St. Paul says, in the world but not of the world. Our faith is the richest jewel that we possess. If we make the interests of the world first, and then the interests of our faith following that, then we will deserve the term of degenerates, because we'll be giving up our faith. Our faith isn't to be practiced simply on Sundays when we come here to adore our God in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Our faith is to be lived each and every day of our lives. If we tarnish its good name by word or example, then we're traitors. Personal holiness is a result of uncompromising fidelity to the observance of God's commandments and the constant exercise of virtue. And one of the commandments that God has given to us is the commandment of a Sunday. That's why we are here. Keep holy the Sabbath day, and of course the precept of the Church, to attend Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation, and to keep holy the day. We are here because God is here for us. And Holy Mother, the Church, knows the infinite value of the august sacrifice. And to secure the advantages for her children, she requires us to be present at the holy sacrifice of the Mass for our part, because of the great graces that flow from the altar into our souls. And the matter of the Sunday Mass is a good test of our faith. Are we here to worship God, or are we here simply because it's a duty? Are we here simply physically present to show that we're here, or do we unite our prayers and our hearts in the sacrifice of God with the priest? That's our participation. If we find that we are simply here out of a sense of duty, then our faith is not a lively faith. Oh, it still has a certain drive in us, but it's the entering in of a wedge of the loss of faith and the hoarding to oneself what should be rendered to Almighty God. Personal holiness is true in a great measure the grace of God, but it's dependent upon our cooperation with that grace and the grace that comes to us through the sacraments. There are two sacraments that we should receive as often as we can. We can receive them every day of the year, save Good Friday. Communion and confession. If we frequent them, we will find that our faith will become even stronger. They are the medicine and the food of our soul. A soul that is in the state of mortal sin is dead, and it needs confession. A soul long away from the communion rail and a food for the soul will find itself languishing and dying spiritually, with humility and faith as our foundation, with a strict loyalty to the Sunday Mass and the commandments of God and the Church, we will hunger and thirst for communion. We will desire good confessions to living as befits Catholics. There should be no one in here who is a stranger to the confessional a month, at least once a month in the confessional, and at least once a month for Holy Communion, if not every Sunday. We need the sacraments to ensure the permanency of our faith. If we neglect the gifts that God has given to us, then we should be afraid. We should be afraid that we will lose the faith. And if we lose the faith, then we lose everything. Because a soul will do whatever it wants for itself in the world. It will render to the world itself. Because if one loses the faith, there is no right, there is no wrong. One loses the faith, there are no morals. Because morals come from God and the Catholic Church. If one loses the faith, one never enters into the confessional again. Because one doesn't believe in a God who is a loving God and who forgives. And therefore, if one loses the faith, one is on the road to hell. My dear faithful, stand up for the faith. Our faith is being attacked day in and day out. And if you don't stand up for your King and your faith and your God, our Lord has said, "He who denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven." Very sobering words. But the consoling words, "He who stands up for me before men, him will I present to my Father in heaven." May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.